Now, what are the exceptions to the rule of revocation? Suppose I make a trust. What is a trust? Trust means I am making a trust in which I give my assets to the trust and what do you call it, for the benefit of a person. Suppose I make a trust in favor of minor child and I transfer debentures in the name of that minor child. In that case, if the property is transferred under the trust for the benefit of the beneficiary, then it cannot be treated as revocable transfer. Even it is revocable, but it cannot be treated as revocable transfer. So, these are the exceptions. First exception is that I transfer my property to my for the benefit of my child, and in the trust deed I write so far as my child is alive, I will not take back the property. So, I make a trust in the name of my minor child who is a beneficiary. In trust, please understand, the person who makes the trust is called a settlor, and the person for whom the trust is made is called as beneficiary. So, if I transfer the asset to a trust for the benefit of the beneficiary till his lifetime, and I make that after his death, I will take back this particular property again, even though it is revocable, because after his death I am going to take it back, still it will not be treated as revocable. It is an exception. And please understand that in such cases, the income so generated by way of a trust which has been made for the lifetime of the beneficiary, up to the lifetime I don't have the right to revoke, but after the lifetime of the beneficiary I have got the right to revoke. In that case, the income shall be taxed only in the hands of the trust, and not, it cannot be clubbed in my hands. This is called as revocable transfer, what do you call it, exceptions. Is that clear? Now, we have seen that section 60 talks about transfer of income to any person without transferring of the asset. Section 62 talks about transfer of assets under revocable transfer. Now, I will give you a provision called as section 64. Under section 64, subsection 2, if the salary remuneration fees is paid to the spouse from a concern in which the other spouse has substantial interest. Please understand, it is very simple. If the salary, remuneration, fees is paid to the spouse from a concern. Now, what is the meaning of concern? Concern may be a company. Concern may be a proprietary firm. Concern may be an HUF proprietary firm. Concern may be a partnership firm. So if the salary remuneration is paid to the spouse from a concern or by a concern in which the other spouse has got the substantial interest. Now what is the meaning of substantial interest? Substantial interest means the other spouse along with the family members is holding more than 20% of the profits or the voting power in that concern. Again, I will repeat with an example. But before I give you an example, I will just again tell you. If the salary remuneration fees is paid to the spouse from a concern in which the other spouse has substantial interest, in that case, the salary, the fees, the commission so paid by the concern to the other spouse shall be added in the hands of that spouse who has got the substantial interest in the concern. Let us take an example. Listen, say Mr. X is a, what do you call it, proprietary firm. Mr. X has a proprietary firm. And the profit and loss account of Mr. X, he has paid salary to Mrs. X, rupees 5 lakhs. Now, the net profit because of this salary paid to Mrs. X comes down in the hands of Mr. X. And Mrs. X does not possess any professional or technical qualification. If Mrs. X does not possess any technical or professional qualification and the salary remuneration fees commission is paid to Mrs. X, then such salary, such remuneration shall not be taxed in the hands of Mrs. X, but it shall be taxed in the hands of Mr. X only, because the wife does not possess the adequate, what do you call it, qualification. So please understand, section 64 subsection 2 says, if the salary remuneration etc. is paid to the spouse from a concern in which the other spouse has got the substantial interest. What is the meaning of substantial interest? He should be, what do you call it, holding more than 20% of the profit or share of profit or 20% of the voting power. Then, and the remuneration so paid to the spouse, and the spouse does not have any technical or professional qualification, in that case, such remuneration paid shall be, must be, has to be added in the hands of that spouse who holds more than 20% of the profit. Now, my dear friends, suppose Mr. X is a doctor and runs his consultation or his hospital, and Mrs. X is also a doctor, then, and the hospital pays salary to Mrs. X, then this salary will not be added, because the doctor, Mrs. X is also a doctor. in the hospital. Does she not possess the technical qualification? The answer is yes. Similarly, there's a firm of chartered accountants. Frankly speaking, chartered accountants, they have a firm. And the firm pays salary to the wife of a partner. And the wife possesses chartered accountancy degree. Then the salary paid to the wife by the firm cannot be added in the hands of her husband. But suppose the wife is not a chartered accountant, but she is expert in filing the tax returns, preparation of the tax returns, making the computations, writing the books of accounts. She does not have any qualification. Even in that case, the salary so paid to the wife by the firm. So, suppose the wife does not have the qualification, professional qualification, formal qualification, but she knows, she has an experience of preparing the tax returns, computing the income, filing the tax returns, auditing the books of accounts, internal audits, etc., writing the books of accounts. So, if a hospital pays salary to a doctor's wife, to a doctor wife of the doctor in which that doctor has got substantial interest in the profitability of the hospital, then that salary cannot be added in the hands of her husband doctor, because wife possesses technical or professional qualification. But, dear students, it is not necessary that there should be a degree or diploma. Even the experience is there, that will be considered as the technical qualification or professional qualification. Suppose my wife is an accountant and she is expert in writing the books, and I pay her salary from my firm, which is my individual proprietary firm. In that case, that cannot be added in my hands. So this is the thing. But if the wife does not have any skill, any experience, any qualification, and I just pay her salary to reduce the profits of mine with an intention to pay lower tax to the department, that will not be accepted. And that salary shall be clubbed under section 64, subsection 2, in my hands. Now I ask you a question. I have a hospital, and this is my proprietary hospital, and my wife is not a doctor. I am a doctor. My wife is not a doctor, but my wife is a nurse, and I pay her salary. Shall it be added to my hands? No, because she possesses the experience and technical proficiency. This particular section 64.2 has been enacted because people used to pay salary to their spouses. They used to pay salary to the spouse without any competency. That's why income tax has enacted this section, says that it will not be accepted, and whatever salary has been paid shall be added to the person who holds the substantial interest. Now, once you have completed section 64, subsection 2, let us understand something more. That is, section 64, subsection 4. Section 64, subsection 1, subsection 4. What it says? If I transfer the assets to my spouse without any consideration or without adequate consideration. Now please understand, if I transfer my assets to the spouse without any consideration or without any adequate consideration, say I transfer jewelry to my wife rupees 50 lakhs and I did not take anything from the wife, say I gifted to her jewelry whose market value is 50 lakhs. Now there is no consideration in form of money. And my wife sells the jewelry after 5 years and she gets 60 lakhs rupees. There will be a capital gain. That long term capital gain will be there. The question arises, shall this long term capital gain after 10 years be added in my income who transferred the jewelry earlier, or shall it be the income of my wife? Please understand, once the assets are transferred to the spouse without consideration or without adequate consideration, then this income shall be, must be added in the hands of the transferor by virtue of section 64, subsection 1, subsection 4. However, if I decide that after 5 years I decide to live apart, that I am not living with my wife, we have decided mutually, then that income cannot be added in my hands because now the consideration has come. That is, living apart is the consideration. In that case, it cannot be transferred. So can I say, if the assets are transferred without adequate consideration or without any consideration to the spouse, the income so generated from that assets shall be added in the hands of the transferor's spouse. Now, would you not ask me as to what is the difference between section 60 and section 64, subsection 1, subsection 4? Section 60 is only transferring of the income. Section 60, what you call it, 1 is transferring of the assets, not to the spouse, but to any person. But section 64, subsection 1, subsection 4 is related to spouse only. Please understand, section 61 is to any person, including spouse. But section 64, 1, subsection 4 is only restricted to the spouse. So this is section 64, subsection 1, subsection 4. Now, section 64, subsection 1, subsection 6 says that section 64, subsection 1, subsection 6, this says, transfer of assets to son's wife without adequate consideration. If I transfer my house to my son's wife and my son's wife puts this house on rent and earns the income, that income shall be added in the hands of the father-in-law or mother-in-law. If mother-in-law transfers the house or jewelry, then it would be added in the mother-in-law. But if the father-in-law transfers, then it would be added in the hands of father-in-law. This is section 64, subsection 1, subsection 6. Now, section 64, subsection 1, subsection 7 talks about section 64, subsection 1, subsection 7 talks about transfer of assets to any person for the benefit of the spouse. Now, I know very well that if I transfer my assets directly to my spouse under section 64, subsection 1, subsection 4, the income so arising would be added to my income. To circumvent that, to overcome that, to surpass that section 64, 1, subsection 4, what I do, I don't transfer the assets to my wife directly. I give it to some other person. I transfer the assets to some other person and tell that other person that please this income should be utilized for my wife, for the benefit of my wife. Even if the assets are transferred to any other person for the benefit of the spouse without any consideration or without adequate consideration, then this income arising to that person shall also be added to my income. And same is the case with section 64, subsection 1, subsection 8, which again says that if the assets are transferred to other person, not directly to the spouse, to the son's wife, but the assets are transferred to other person for the benefit of son's wife. This was for spouse, benefit of spouse. This is for benefit of son's wife. In that case also, the income so arising to that other person from the assets which have been transferred for the benefit of son's wife shall also be added in the hands of the transferor. So this is all about section 64, and we will wind up by saying by a small important section, and that section is what you call section 64 1A of the Income Tax Act. Now, what we have seen so far, we started our journey with section 60. Section 60 said that transfer of what you call it income without transferring the assets to any person, that income will be clubbed in the hands of the transferor. Section 61 talks about what you call it revocable transfer of assets. If the assets have been transferred with a condition that it would be taken back, then the income shall still be taxed in the hands of the transferor. Now we played with section 64, subsection 2, which says that remuneration salary paid to the spouse from a concern or by a concern in which the other spouse has got substantial interest, more than 20% interest, and the spouse does not possess any technical or professional qualification, then that salary will be added in the hands of the other spouse. Section 64(1), subsection 4. If the assets are transferred to the spouse without adequate consideration or for inadequate consideration, in that case, the income arising from such assets shall also be added in the hands of the transferor. We also played with a section called section 64(1), subsection 6, which talks about the assets transferred to the son's wife without adequate consideration. Then that income shall also be added in the hands of the transferor. We also saw section 64(1), subsection 7. If the assets are transferred for the benefit of the spouse to other person without consideration, without adequate consideration, then that income shall also be added in the hands of the transferor. We also saw section 64(1), subsection 8, which says that if the assets are transferred to other person for the benefit of son's wife without adequate consideration, then that income shall also be added in the hands of the transferor. Having understood all these things, now I am going to start with section 64.1a, which talks about minor child's income. Please understand. If I have a minor child, suppose I have deposited in fixed deposit of minor child rupees 2 lakhs and the bank pays 10% interest per annum and the total yearly income is 20,000 rupees and my salary is 7 lakhs rupees, salary of father is 7 lakhs rupees and he has put fixed deposit in the name of his minor child and the bank pays 10% interest on 2 lakhs rupees, the total interest amount is 20,000 rupees, then this 20,000 rupees shall be, must be, has to be clubbed, attached, joined with my income. So section 64.1a talks about clubbing of income of a minor child. However, if the minor child is earning the income on his own, out of his skill, out of his efforts, out of his ability, out of his competency, out of his knowledge, say my minor child is a data operator, then that income cannot be added in my hands. That income shall be added only in the hands of the minor child. And if the minor child is suffering from, what do you call it, a disability, then that income earned by the minor child cannot be added in my hands. So even in this case also, if my minor child is suffering from a disability, then this income cannot be added in my hands. It would be added in the hands of the minor child. And this is how we end the clubbing provisions with section 64.1a, which is of, what you call it, income of the minor child shall be clubbed in the hands of the parents. But which parent, whether father or mother? The income of the minor child shall be clubbed with that parent whose income is higher. Say my income today is, say, 3 lakhs, 5 lakhs rupees and my wife's income is, say, rupees 8 lakhs. Then the income of minor child shall be added in my wife. And next year it turns, suppose my income becomes 8 lakhs and my wife's income becomes 5 lakhs. Even then it will be added in the hands of my wife, provided the learned income tax officer has got the right to believe that this is not the right adjustment or this is not the right, what do you call it, this is not the right, clubbing. But minor child's income shall not be added if the minor child earns the income on his own. Say minor child is an artist, then that income cannot be added to my income. The minor will have to pay the tax on this income through me. Minor cannot sign the contract because under section 11 of the contract act, minor is sub juris. Minor cannot enter into agreement. I will file the tax return. I will sign on the behalf of the minor, but minor will become an assessee because here if the minor pays separately, does he not get the benefit of threshold limits? So minor gets the benefit of threshold limits in such cases. If he pays the tax, if he is taxable individually. So this is how the wonderful clubbing provision is over with chapter 9 of the Income Tax Act in your book. Thank you very much.